Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What happens when your life changes overnight with a diagnosis that seems impossible to overcome? On this episode of This Week in America, author Janet McDowell shares the remarkable true story behind her memoir, Chasing a Light in the Darkness, a story of resilience in the face of unrelenting medical challenges. Shortly after her 61st birthday, Janet was diagnosed with lymphocytic leukemia, a disease often treatable in children but far more difficult for older adults. What followed was a years-long battle that included two near-death experiences, a stem cell transplant, serious rejection complications, and countless setbacks. Yet, through every obstacle, Janet refused to surrender hope. Whether you faced illness yourself, cared for a loved one, or simply need encouragement during difficult times, Janet's story is a powerful reminder that hope can shine even in life's darkest moments. And Janet McDowell, author of the inspiring memoir, Chasing a Light in the Darkness, a story of resilience in the face of unrelenting medical challenges, is our guest on This Week in America. Janet, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You have been through so much, and you share all of that in your story, Chasing a Light in the Darkness, and helping so many people getting through difficult times in their lives. Let's go back to where this began for you. Celebrated the high of a birthday, 61st birthday. A short while later, you find out you have a diagnosis that literally changes the rest of your life. Talk about that period and the emotions you went through, from the high of celebrating to the low of finding out you face some difficult circumstances.
Yes, and actually, it was actually on my birthday that I got that diagnosis.
Wow.
So, yeah, I went from expecting to come home from a doctor's appointment and celebrating my birthday to I don't feel much like celebrating anymore. So yeah, it was a shock to say the least. And I was so shocked that when the doctor at the time asked me if I wanted to get treated, I was actually offended that he would ask somebody that. And later I asked my sister if people really say no to that. She went, yes, all the time. I was stunned. I just looked at him and went, well, of course I want to be treated. But I didn't even know, Rick, what that meant. I had no idea what a stem cell transplant was. He had mentioned that I would have to get one eventually. And in my mind, it was just like, oh, well, you know, if that's what it takes, that's what I'll do.
So. Maybe it's a good thing that's the way your mind operated. Rather than think of all the possible pitfalls, it's like, it's no big deal. I'll come back a couple times and we'll get this taken care of.
Yeah, maybe.
The book is Chasing a Light in the Darkness. It's such a revealing book into what Janet went through and the hope that she gives other people. Because as I mentioned, this was not easy. The challenges you faced were unrelenting, as it says in the title of the book. Talk about what you went through, because there were some near-death experiences that you went through.
Yes. Yeah, and it was so strange. Having all of those things they just kept happening one after the other. After the very first one, when they told me that I would need a brain surgery, and I'm going, wait a minute, I came in for chemo.
Yes.
How in the world did I get to a brain surgery? And then when that went sideways, that's when things really started to get complicated. And, you know, I just never even considered giving up. I don't know if it's just in my DNA or what, but no matter what happened, I thought, I am not dying from this.
Let's go back. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish that thought.
I'm sorry. I can't remember.
Well, you didn't really think about giving up. It was just you're here, you're in for the long term, the battle, whatever you have to go through. I'd like to back up just a little bit and talk about that. When you got the diagnosis, did you suspect anything was wrong? Did you have any feeling that you had a problem, a medical problem of some kind?
Oh, Oh, yeah. In fact, I had been going to appointments for 5 weeks trying to find out what the problem was. I started having difficulty on my walks. I was walking like 4 miles a day with our two dogs, and all of a sudden, I couldn't make it a quarter mile to our mailbox. And I started getting blood clots for no reason, left arm, right leg. I mean, and swelling and everything that comes with blood clots. And they knew I had blood clots, and they gave me two different kinds of blood thinners that did absolutely nothing. But they were trying to figure out what was wrong, but they hadn't found it yet. Until they sent me to a vascular specialist. And when I was seeing her, I asked her, I said, "Have you ever seen blood clots just appear like this in an otherwise healthy person?" And she goes, "The only time in my career I've ever seen this happen is in the case of a malignancy." She goes, "I'm sorry, I don't mean to scare you." And I said, "Hey, I asked."
Oh, yes.
And so she sent me to a cancer center. And he said he knew looking at the old blood work. And my sister and I both asked him, why wasn't this spotted? I had had surgery, two of them, in the months leading up to that diagnosis. So I'd had pre-surgery exams and blood work and all of
Yes.
that. And it was missed twice. And when we asked my cancer doctor then why, he goes, if I looked, I went back, he goes, I wondered the same thing. So I went back and looked at that blood work. And he goes, the signs were there if you knew what to look for. But those doctors weren't oncologists. And that's why it was missed.
So you
So I
finally.
went through. So I've had it for months, this leukemia, and didn't even know it.
And was not detected. So once you got to the
Yeah.
oncologist, he was able to look and see exactly what the problems were. On the program today is Janet McDowell. That's MCDOWELL. Her website is jlmcdowell.com. Click on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available wherever books are sold. Chasing a Light in the Darkness is the name of her memoir. It's a very inspirational book. What she went through during this period. When the doctor explains what you have, acute lymphocytic leukemia, as a volunteer for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital for years, I've watched that survival rate go from like 5 to 90%. That's in kids. What was it like hearing? But it really, adults, a whole different story. It was very difficult, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And of course, the more I got into it, the more difficult it became because at the time, I didn't know what leukemia meant for an adult. I remember coming home and thinking, okay, well, I'll look it up and see what survival rates are for this type of leukemia because we still didn't actually know. He felt confident. He goes, if you have the leukemia that I think you have, he goes, it's very rare for adults to get that. He goes, but we have to do a bone marrow biopsy to find out. So that day they did a bone marrow biopsy. And of course, you don't get the results for 3 days. Stuff has to be sent out of
Yes.
town and come back and the whole thing. And so I came home. And he goes, I'll call you as soon as I get the results, and then we'll set up a treatment plan and go from there. So I came home and got on the computer and thought, okay, oh, I'm just going to research it myself and see what I can find out. But there was nothing to find out because adults don't get it. So there was nothing in the literature that I could find about survival rates for adults with that type of leukemia. And I found, and the other thing that was frustrating is they kept going, well, it depends on this and this and this. Are you going to have a related donor, a relative donor, or you're going to have somebody you don't know. And so all of these, there were all kinds of things, what your age is. So, and of course, I didn't know the answer to those things. So it was very frustrating. And finally, I got so frustrated, I just quit. I thought, you know what, I guess I'll find out as I go whether I'm going to be one of the ones that makes it through it. Or, I mean, this is like the first day that I find out. And I haven't even found out yet what I have for sure. I just know I have either leukemia or lymphoma that's leading towards leukemia. But I still didn't even know what that was. So it was, I mean, it's a scary thing.
You had a whole lot to sort out in a very short period of time. That's the rational part. And then you've got the emotional part to deal with as well. You went through almost losing your life on two occasions. I mentioned all of the setbacks that you have. Would have been pretty easy to give up. Probably a lot of people are like, I can't do this anymore. What was it that kept you going that you apparently didn't even give that an option? It's like, I'm here, I'm going to get through this.
Yeah, you know what, I'm not sure what that is. I've thought about it and I've been asked that question many times. And I think it's just some of us have that just undying will to not leave. I just did not want to die yet. And I just kept saying, I will not die from this. I'm not going to. You can throw anything at me and I am not dying. And I don't know if that alone did it. I know I had a chaplain come and talk to me. This is in the book. And she had a husband that had died of cancer. And she came and told me one day, she goes, you know, you don't have to keep going through this. You do have a right to say enough is enough. And when she left, my only thought was, no way. I am not. I am not going to do that.
Well, and
I'm
amazing.
Keep battling.
And you kept battling and you won. Talk about, we hear this all the time, the power of a determined mindset, the healing power of a determined mindset. It sounds like in your case, that really was part of your weaponry as you were fighting this. How important is that to have that mindset? And do you think that's what really got you through all of this?
Yes, I think it's critical that you have that mindset. I really do. As soon as you tell your body that you don't want to fight anymore, it just kind of joins in. I just think it's absolutely necessary that you just keep that attitude all the way through. And I'm not saying that's an easy task. There were times when even I was just going, good God, how much does one person have to go through? And sometimes I still say that because it's just kept going well after I survived the leukemia and the transplant and all the rejection issues. There have still been other things that have come along since then that I just keep going, wow, is this ever going to end? And they think, at least the medical team that I have thinks, most of these things that are coming up now are still related to the leukemia, to the transplant in the first place. Not that actual transplant itself, but what your body has to go through to get the transplant, like no immune system for months. And while you don't have an immune system, those little tiny bugs can get into your system and find nice little places to hide. And nobody knows they're in there. They're not caught on blood work.
It's just an incredible story, what Janet has gone through and continues, it sounds like, to go through. How are you today? How are you doing? How do you feel?
I'm doing well, you know, all things considered. One of the last things that happened was in 24, and it was an abscess that was in two vertebrae in my spine. And as a result of that, when they finally found it again, and it took them a month and a half to figure out what that was, and eventually when they did the surgery to clean out the abscess that had then spilled into where the spinal cord is in the epidural space, they cleaned that all out. But the vertebra collapsed and they couldn't go in there and fix them or try to stabilize them with screws or anything like they do in a fusion because of the risk of infection because of the abscess. And so I've been walking around with two broken vertebra, or just collapsed on each other for over a year now, waiting for them to fuse. And they still don't know if they're totally fused. And that has been one of the most painful things I've ever gone through.
Janet McDowell is our guest on the program. The book is Chasing a Light in the Darkness, a story of resilience in the face of unrelenting medical challenges. And we're going through some of those challenges that she's still dealing with today. Once all of this settles in, you suddenly realize you need some help. You are, describe yourself as fiercely independent. You can't be, at least you're limited in your self-care during this period. What was this like? And talk about the role of your sister who jumped right in and took care of you and was there with you throughout this entire process and remains there today. What was it like giving up your independence? How emotionally draining was that?
It is very, very difficult. In fact, believe it or not, and I wouldn't be here without my sister. I would not physically be alive without her helping me through this process. And I mean, grateful beyond words, but I still have trouble asking for help. It is just one of those things that was not on my radar for 60 years of my life. I lived by myself. I had a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house that I maintained, and I had a dog, and I had a full-time job, and I did just fine until this hit. And then all of a sudden, you can't work, you can't take care of a house, you can't hardly get dressed in the morning. So you go from totally independent to 2 weeks later, not even recognizing yourself in the mirror. And it is an extremely hard thing for me to do still. But she is and continues to be just a rock star supporter.
What advice would you give to caregivers? And I ask that because so many people are finding themselves in that position with parents living longer and family situations and family being there to help family, as in the case in your life with Susan. What thoughts do you have on caregiving, and what advice would you give to caregivers?
The advice I would give to anybody, to taking anybody else, is you've got to take care of yourself first. And I know that sounds counterproductive to the whole point, but if you don't take care of yourself and get the exercise that you need and eat properly, then you aren't going to be any good to them either. It's critical that you find a way, even if it means that somebody else needs to come in for an hour or 2 hours so you can get out of the house and do something for yourself, meet up with your friends. I think that was one of Susan's hardest things, is that she couldn't go see her grandkids in Pennsylvania. And so it's really, really important that they find a way to make sure they're taking care of themselves too.
We talked about the importance of mindset. Talk about that. What did you learn about yourself, the strength that you had? Did you give it any thought as you were going through this? I think maybe now you might look back at everything and go, wow, I can't believe that I got through this. I mean, it was one battle after another, and you'd win that battle, and suddenly there'd be something else that would crop up that you had to deal with. What did you learn about you during this period and your ability to get through these situations, difficult situations?
Well, there, I don't know if I really learned anything new about me because there had been episodes when I was younger in my 30s and even before that, where, believe it or not, I had been in situations that could have killed me. And it's, I guess, like I said, it must just be in my DNA just to go, nope, I'm not leaving. Throw something else at me. So,
You shouldn't
keep
have given
coming.
them that challenge because they took you up on that and they kept bringing
They
things
did.
and Janet
That's right.
was there and kept coming out on the other side of this. You talk about finding joy in the simplest things. That's one thing that you write about in Chasing a Light in the Darkness. A message for all of us. Sometimes we take things for granted, don't we? And they have to be major life
Yes.
events before we get excited about them. But there's the joy just in walking to the mailbox every day with your dog.
Yeah, it's the simple things, even sitting down. How many of us have backyards and flower gardens and that we never take the time to just go out and sit and look at them and
Yes.
look at the beauty of the flowers and the butterflies and the blue sky? And all the things we should be thankful for every day, but we just don't stop and do it. And these kind of experiences make you stop and do it, whether you want to or not, because you can't do anything else. Like I said, there were days that I felt as soon as I would get up, and it would take me a half an hour just to get dressed. And then I wanted to go back to bed because I had just used a day full of energy just to get dressed in the morning.
Talk about the decision to write this book, Chasing a Light in the Darkness. I know you found a writing mentor that helped you get through this. It was a, again, I think it was what, a years long project in writing the book. Talk about the process of writing, the writing part of it, and then the emotional part of reliving all of these experiences again. What did you go through in writing this book?
Well, I learned I learned that it's really hard for me to answer the question, how did you feel at the time? She kept asking me the emotional part of it. And you got to remember, this was years after I had gone through it.
Yes.
So to think she wanted me to tell her how I would think at a specific instance. And 7 years later, it was very hard to think back. But I'm not an emotional person to begin with, so it was really hard for me to remember or try to come up with my feelings at a certain point in writing the book. And all through the process, that was the hardest part for me about writing. And she stuck with me. We had to quit a couple times because something else would come up and I wouldn't be able to write for 5, 6 months because another surgery or another issue would pop up. And she stuck with me. She would just keep coming back when I was ready to start again. She was right there. And I couldn't have done it without her. But the thing about writing the book to begin with, it's really kind of funny. I never considered writing a book when I was going through the process, and I wished I had because I would have been better at keeping notes at certain
Yes.
times. But afterwards, when I would tell friends or acquaintances, they would ask me certain things, and I would start telling them things, a couple things that had happened, and without fail, every single person would say, you should write a book. And I must have heard that 50 times. And finally I went, geez, maybe I should write a book. But I didn't know anything about writing a book. And literature was, or grammar was never my strong suit in school. I don't even think we had literature classes or anything like that when I was in high school. So I knew I needed help. And then my friend Britt Brandy put me on to this writing mentor, and she agreed to help me see through it, see it through to the end. And that's how it came about.
Well, you've done
Kind of funny,
a wonderful,
actually.
well, yeah, it is how it happened. And you find that so many people go through that. They've been asked that question so many times that they just decide to try to write a book. But you went through it, went to it the right way with somebody to guide you through it. The book is touching so many people. I keep seeing the words honest and accessible as I'm reading through the reviews of people who have you've helped with it with the book. The book is Chasing a Light in the Darkness. Janet McDowell is our guest on the program. McDowell is McDowell, important because her website is jlmcdowell.com. You had a chance to be at the LA Times Book Fair, one of the major book fairs in the country, possibly even in the world, a few weeks ago. Talk about that experience. And it's sort of different than writing the book, and you really don't know who's reading the book, who's being inspired by the book. You're actually having that human contact with people and probably heard stories, many of the people going through their experiences. What was that like in being at the book fair and talking about your book and interacting?
That was fun. That was the very first experience I had had after the book was actually published. So it had only been out for a couple of weeks when I went to the book fair, and I was able to just sit and talk to people and actually just walk around and even talk to people, some other authors, and we would share stories about what our books were like, and people would come up to the actual booth that Mainspring Books had. And then they would come up to you, and you could talk to them a little bit about your book, and you'd sign it for them and ask them to leave a review because you're giving them the book for free. And it was very fun to meet other authors and actually even talk to some of the people that were just there to attend the fair. It was astonishing that they get that many people at that fair over a 3-day period. I couldn't believe it. Just like 2,500 people go through there. It was
You
astonishing.
see the pictures and you see overwhelmed with people there. And I've not seen in the last couple of years, but C-SPAN used to broadcast from there for a couple of days, and you could see everybody there and all of the authors and all of the interaction. It's just an amazing sight to be there and to be able to share the experiences. Let's talk a little bit about, I got a couple minutes left here in the program. You mentioned you're doing fine now. You're going through with the setbacks, and you're able to handle those. Talk about what advice you would give to somebody. If somebody's out there now and they're facing difficulty, whether it be cancer or a diagnosis of some other kind, and they're really down and not sure what's lies ahead for them, what advice would you give them?
Well, I think that if you're finding that you can't say to yourself, don't give up, if that isn't helping, go talk to people. There are people all over. Even in Yakima, we have people who will help with cancer and cancer support and being able to go talk to people who deal with it and see patients every day. And they're really helpful to get you back into a mindset where you can go, this doesn't have to be your whole life. This is an experience that you're going to go through, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be your last one. And I think a lot of times when we hear the word cancer, our brains just automatically go to the death rates from cancer.
Yes.
Instead of thinking, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be me. You just don't know at the beginning what's going to happen. And that's why it's so critical to keep that positive mindset and just take it day by day instead of trying to cram, 6 months worth of experience into a day or a diagnosis. Just take it as it comes, a little at a time. But talking to people is important. I also wanted to mention quickly that my book is also going to be at the Frankfurt Book Fair. in October.
Wonderful. Yeah. That will be nice. So an international reach for that book. Were you a world traveler? Will you go to Frankfurt for this?
No, I'm not going to be there this year. In fact, I'm already going to be somewhere else when that pops up. So,
well, I mentioned traveling. If you go to Janet's website, you'll see pictures of some of the travels there, including the trip to Las Vegas, to the Sphere, when she was there with Susan. What was that like there? I've not been there. I've not seen it, but I keep hearing these remarkable stories. It's almost, well, it's breathtaking, isn't it? What it is, what it represents.
Yes, that I tell you, if there is any way anybody listening to this can get to Vegas before December 31st and go see The Wizard of Oz, it is an experience that's worth the airfare and the hotel and a rental car if you have to get one to go down there just to see that show. It is absolutely a remarkable sensory experience.
It's amazing where entertainment has gone. All of these experiences now, it's like being on stage during this era with all of the performers or the real people during that. It's almost like medicine now. Let's talk about that. I have a few seconds here at the end. How far we've come in medicine. You really saw the modern technology at work here. Stem cells have been refined. You had issues with that. Talk about where we're going with medicine and your thoughts on where we are headed, possibly with AI coming in and making some big differences.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know enough about AI, unfortunately, to know what kind of an impact it could have. But I do know that, you know, medicines are getting better and better, you know, over the years, and they're being able to pinpoint even some of the technologies that have been around for years, like ultrasound, to be able to direct an ultrasound beam into a specific cancer cell in order to kill it and not kill anything else in the body, which of course is the problem with chemo.
Yes.
That it kills cancer, but it also kills everything else that you don't want it to kill. So, but I think that medicine is going in the right direction. I think eventually we'll be able to wipe out some of these cancers altogether, or at least have 100% success rate.
Yes, and it appears we're moving maybe too slowly in some cases, but moving in that direction. Just a final thought here. We talked in the beginning, it was you knew something was wrong. You went to try to find out what was wrong. They overlooked it because they weren't the specialist in the area where you were having problems. What should people do when they go through a similar set of circumstances? You talk to people that have made 6-7 visits to different doctors that can't figure out what it is. And in some cases, the longer you go, the less chance you have of surviving this. What's the best way to attack that problem?
Yeah, and that's a tough one because so much of it is regulated by what your insurance will let
exactly.
you do.
Exactly, yes.
And you can't just make an appointment at a cancer center without going through all the steps before that. And that's, I think, is really sad because in my case, that would have knocked a whole month off of trying to figure out what this was. So yeah, it's hard to buck the system. I suppose it'd be worth it in that particular case because I knew something was, it was not going to be good. I mean, who develops blood clots just sitting around? I wasn't sitting around, but still, something was seriously not right. And I guess if looking back, the only thing I could have done differently was just paid out of pocket for a cancer doctor to see me without going through the insurance steps.
Yeah, the referrals and all, yes, that you have to go through. I guess it's being an advocate for yourself, because you were the only one that's fighting that battle out there. And you hear so often people are like, you know, I wish I would have done something differently because I kept going back and forth and I didn't have the right specialist to determine what the problem was. The time has gone by so quickly. Janet, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. The book is Chasing a Light in the Darkness, a story of resilience in the face of unrelenting medical challenges, book available wherever books are sold. We've got the Amazon link on our website. And, of course, you can go to her website, get information, order the book there as well. That's jlmcdowell.com. McDowell is M-C-D-O-W-E-L-L. Janet, a pleasure having you on the program. Great to see your smiling face, your determination. It's motivation for all of us people, especially maybe to take a little time later today, go out in the backyard and just walk around and enjoy nature. No big deal. Just go outside and open mind and appreciate the, let your senses go to work and enjoy the day. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much for having me. It was fun.
It was been our pleasure, and I'd like to thank Mainspring Books for making our interview with Janet possible today, making sure that your stories come to life. Their website is mainspringbooks.com. And thank you for listening to today's program. You can catch all of our programs on 28 different podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Odyssey, Audible, Google, many more. YouTube, of course, as well, Facebook, LinkedIn, and others. And while you're there, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe for more inspiring conversations.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.